We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Tremendous play. I mean, really magnificent play by Carson on Sunday night. One of the better ones of his career, and he's had some great ones getting that ball out. You see the athleticism on display. You also know there's a risk factor with plays like that, and while that one didn't get him, other plays can, and other plays I believe will continue to get him if he continues to play like that often. All right. Let's turn our attention, of course, usually by phone, but today, this week, in studio, every Tuesday at this time with us, he covers the Philadelphia Eagles for us at WIP, and of course, part of the 94WIP.com/GoBirds page, Mr. Elliot Shore-Parks. Good afternoon. Good morning, Elliot.
What's going on, guys?
It's all good, bud. John and I have what I guess I would call polar opposite opinions of this one today.
Perfect.
I just think Carson's too reckless, and I admire the way he plays and the effort he puts in and the intensity and the competitiveness, but I think it's reckless to the point of dangers for his physicality and going 19 games, let alone going 10 or 15 years. Elliot, what do you think?
So I don't know if I would say he's especially reckless with his body. I think that that narrative was a little overblown, especially when he tore his ACL in 2017. I didn't think he took a lot of unnecessary hits, and I don't think that's something he does. But where I would agree with you, Joe, is Carson is too reckless with the ball. He was reckless with the ball on Sunday. I mean, the play where he's going down and he chucks it up down the field and Desmond Trufant catches it. He had another pass that was nearly intercepted. So even though interceptions have not been an issue for him throughout his career, I think when you're using the word reckless to talk about Carson's game on Sunday, it was how he took care of the ball more so than what he did with
his body. Okay, so and let's table that for a second. We'll get there. So just as it pertains to the physicality, you have no issues with his style of play.
No, I don't.
Wow.
I think he took a lot of hits. I don't think that's especially his fault. But right. I don't think he makes plays that intentionally put his body in harm's way.
Well, no. It might not be intentional, but I'd say, and some of it, I think the shot he took to the ribs, Tom Brady probably gets that ball out either as a throwaway or he probably recognized pre-snap a receiver he can go to. I don't think Carson's all there. Well, I don't think Carson's as advanced at reading defenses as people think he is.
So
they heard, he's not Tom Brady.
No, he's not. He's not. I agree with you. But it's like when he came out of the draft, a lot of people made a big deal of, hey, put this guy at the blackboard and he can tell you this play and that play and that play and that play. And everyone just kind of assumes, oh, well, he's just a machine brain. And then you see him in the game. And by the way, you also see Foles. And by the way, you also see Josh McCown. And it's like the ball comes out real fast. That I got to believe has to do with some recognition, pre-snap understanding, that I don't think Carson's as advanced as people think he is.
So I 100% agree with you on that. Even the fourth down touchdown to Nelson Agholor where he hit him in the back of the end zone. I mean, Agholor was open about a second and a half earlier than Wentz found him. But I think when you use the word reckless, that does kind of imply some intent. And when you're talking about Wentz being in the pocket and taking hits, like on the throw where it looked like he might have hurt his ribs, that maybe he recognized it too slow, but that's not him standing in the pocket just to take a hit. That's him not recognizing it and getting hit as a result. I don't think he's reckless in the way people discuss where they say, like, you know, he has to be more careful. I think this is just kind of who he is, and his style does take some hits.
How much of this was the offensive line underperforming? How much of this was the Atlanta Falcons doing things defensively that were just solid, like like showing disguises and you know, trying to confuse him successfully?
Well, I think Isaac Seumalo had a terrible game, which obviously didn't help from an offensive line standpoint.
How is that? Like, he took major steps. Even, you know, last season, he was looking so much better at the end of the year than when we first saw him. And this offseason, only positive reviews coming out from the OTAs and minicamps. And then, I don't know, week one, he looked pretty good, I thought.
Well, his career has been very up and down. I mean, he was benched earlier on in his career, then he was brought back, and then they benched him again, and then they finally committed to him. So inconsistency from Seumalo is nothing new. I didn't think Jason Peters played an especially great game. I thought Lane Johnson and Brandon Brooks were pretty good. But when an entire side of your line isn't playing well, that hurts. But also, I think that one of the reasons you saw so many issues was just Well, two. One, Carson was really bad. Like, let's not mask that. Carson was the main problem on Sunday. He is the reason they lost that game. But the fact that they lost players to injuries, I do think messed their offense up because you had to run different plays than you had all week in practice.
Listen, I thought Carson in the second half was a completely different Carson than the first half Carson. And some of that has to be, you have to give them some props for figuring things out as they went. It was like back to the drawing board before the game even started. And it looked that way in the first half, didn't it?
But also, like, has the bar become so low for Carson that him just playing better in the second half of a loss is encouraging? Like, they lost the game because he was atrocious in the first half. This is not a new thing for him. He consistently comes up small on the road in big games. Like, last year against Dallas, last year against New Orleans. The Eagles are not going to consistently win games, and he's not going to be the player people think he is if all we're talking about is, well, he was really good in the fourth. Like, yeah, he made some good throws, but where were those throws in the first quarter?
He put them in position to win that game. They should have won that game if we had a receiver who could catch.
They were only in position to lose that game because of Carson. You're right. Aguilar should have caught that ball. But is it really to the point with Carson where Aguilar dropping a pass is like one of the best plays of maybe his career, right? Like, Carson needs to play better to start these games. The Eagles can't keep falling behind. Their first quarter offense is probably the worst in the league since 2018.
Yeah,
he's a big part of that.
Yeah, that is a problem. And you know what? You can say it's not just the drop by Aguilar. It's Zach Ertz not getting the depth he needed to get on a route.
But on the play before that, he tried to target Ertz.
Yeah, he missed him.
So if Wentz makes that throw, it's not up to Ertz to get that extra half yard. You're right. Ertz should have ran a little deeper. He admitted that.
It is inconsistent. It is inconsistent.
Yeah,
it is masterful at times, and then when you need it most, it's mostly there.
Yeah. I think
but it's like a 90%.
The most telling stat when you talk about inconsistency, Doug and Carson are 6-7 in their last 13 games together. That's inconsistency. That's win-loss, right? Like, they need to figure this thing out because they're the most important people on the team. 6-7 over a 13-game stretch is not one or two games. That is a trend, and they need to improve.
Elliot, has any reporter, can you remember in the last year, going back to last year, ever considered or ever asked Doug, have you ever thought about just taking the ball in the kickoff and saying we'll take the ball just to try something different?
No, I mean, look, they believe in getting it in the second half.
Yeah.
They just do.
And they believe that especially on the road. I mean, they believe it in general, but I know the theory is also even more on the road. There's a lot of, and it's true. Check it out at the link. A quarter of the stadium, if not more, will be empty when the third quarter begins because people are still going to the bathroom and getting concessions. Mm-hmm. So the theory is that the crowd's more jacked up in a home crowd at the beginning of the game in the third quarter. So if you're on the road, you want the ball in the third quarter.
Yeah,
or
in Atlanta that it's half empty half.
I just wonder if they've tried something different. Other things here, and again, Elliot Shore Parks in the studio. Elliot, do you believe that the coaching staff will consider benching Ronald Darby soon if he doesn't play better?
Absolutely not. There is no way. They do not bring him back. He doesn't agree to come back on a one-year deal, which from his perspective is a one-year prove-it deal. He wanted to go to the place that gave him the best chance to get a new deal next offseason. So he wouldn't come back if they weren't fully committed to him. He was not good. Like, he was not good, but I don't think they're anywhere close to benching him.
So does it look significantly worse if they had targeted, I don't know, Avante Maddox or Sidney Jones? Like, it was a disaster.
Yeah.
And
their plan was clearly to target him,
which is not a good sign.
Yeah, I mean,
we mis-evaluated at the cornerback position?
Ronald Darby's not that good.
I never thought he was either.
Here's the thing. He used to have the makeup speed, and this was like a 4-2 guy, and now coming off the knee, it's like he's missing some of that juice.
I mean, this is what, Ronald Darby's fourth year of his career, fourth or fifth, and he's had one good year. So at a certain point, he is what he is. I agree the closing speed was his strength, and that's concerning when you see him consistently being beat deep. I mean, Matt Ryan could have had more touchdowns if he didn't overthrow his receivers.
Man. All right, so the Corey Clement fumble, we've totally glossed over that.
That was huge.
Is this the kind of thing where he loses his job or as a return? Well,
we don't even know if he's healthy enough to play. That's a whole other matter, right?
Yeah,
looks like his shoulder. Probably, I would be very surprised if he played this week. He had his arm in a sling after the game. I thought Miles Sanders looked good returning the ball.
He did.
The one he did. I mean, he had a nice spin move.
He should be back there.
Yeah. I would put him back there. I think he's better at it than Corey.
Sanders is a running back, Elliot. Strikes me like out of the gate, not really ready for prime time yet. Okay, but not what he was cracked up to be. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, he's been a disappointment because I thought he looked really good in training camp. But then when you look at a larger picture, missed all of the offseason because of an injury. Didn't look great in the preseason. Had one or two moments, but overall wasn't that great. And now I think 28 yards on 10 carries last week. I don't think that's the offensive line. I think that's him consistently bouncing to the outside. And I'm not sure he has the speed to do it. So I was very high on Miles Sanders in training camp. I'm not ready to give up that enthusiasm yet. But there's no denying the first 2 weeks are not promising.
Yeah, pedestrian. He's been pedestrian
so far. The eye
test
is not good for Miles Sanders.
What do we do at D-tackle? Is Howie going to go out and find somebody? Or do you promote from the practice squad?
You could promote from the practice squad. You still have Hester on the practice squad. So you could bring him up. But they have to do something because now you're really down to just Cox and Ridgeway. I mean, that's all you have there at this point. So, or
Hector,
and Akeem's
Hector.
Spence. Sorry, Hector.
I get them mixed up.
Yeah. I always do. Yeah.
Hector and Hester.
I know.
It's unbelievable.
They look alike, too.
So, I mean, Major, you know, boy, the jumping off sides late in that game for Ridgeway certainly hurt us.
Hurt.
But Akeem Spence, Hassan Ridgeway, how did they acquit themselves in your view?
Well, as you mentioned, the offsides penalty with Ridgeway ended up being pretty big. I mean, that gives him a fresh set of downs. I rewatched the game, and they didn't stand out to me when I watched it the first time. They didn't stand out to me the second time.
Yeah.
And the issue is that one of the reasons they didn't bring back Michael Bennett and Chris Long was because they counted on guys like Jernigan and Malik Jackson to get more of a pass rush up the middle, making life easier for those ends. That's not going to happen at this point. I thought Josh Sweat played better in week two.
He had a nice
two.
Rush.
Yeah, he had a really nice rush, almost had a strip fumble, but it's a concern. It's a concern. I mean, he passed on Jadeveon Clowney, how he did, because he believed in the young guys on his roster. And it's early, but 2 weeks in, it's looking like the pass rush is a major issue, and that's why Jim Schwartz has to blitz so much.
So Elliot, does this continue? I mean, it's not what he wants to do.
Well,
but
he has no choice. I mean, the front four can't get pressure. So you can't just let quarterback sit back there.
Elliot, what was the locker room like the other day when you get in there after the game, and was it any different than a usual loss, or did it feel the same?
I don't want this to come across like they weren't upset about the loss, but I think that they had proper perspective on it. They wasn't an especially depressing locker room. I think they, you know, said they felt they needed to play better. But this is a team that's been in a lot of big games, obviously the postseason the last 2 years. So I don't think, they were well aware that it was week two, I guess would be my assessment of the locker
room. Makes sense. All right. Again, Elliot, follow all of his work, 94WIP.com/GoBirds. Elliot, great stuff. Thanks, pal.
Yep, talk to you guys soon.
Elliot with us every Tuesday at 11. Joe DeCamera, John Ritchie. All right, 888-729-9494. Coming up at 11:30, John takes us inside the game, something X's and O's related to what happened on Sunday. We'll hit that in your phone calls as well. Joe DeCamera, John Ritchie on WIP.
At Supercuts, details matter. That's why they end every haircut with a signature hot towel finish, so you'll leave feeling clean and super ready to go. Every Supercut is finished with that signature hot towel refresher, where your stylist will clean off stray hairs from your face and neck, and you can leave feeling clean, sharp, and ready to get back to your day. Supercuts expert stylists know how to get your cut just right every time, and you can save time by checking in online with the Supercuts mobile app. Download it now from the App Store or Google Play. It is super simple, and it's awesome. Take it from me. When it's time for a haircut, save time. Check in online using their convenient mobile app or go to supercuts.com. You don't wait. When you get there, just sign up. It's beautiful. When you're there, ask your Supercut stylist for the Tea Tree Experience today. It's invigorating. It's relaxing. The Tea Tree Experience is something you've got to try. Find a location near you at supercuts.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.